I would love to live as the river flows, surprised by its own unfolding. That's the poet John O'Donohue. Wouldn't you love to live that way? Like the river flows, surprised by its own unfolding. I bet you do a lot of times. Have you ever had that experience where time just seems to disappear because you are so absorbed in whatever it is that you're doing? Yeah, the poet raises his hand, right? The musicians get it, the artist, yes. The athletes, the dancer, yes, all of those things, yes. And more, anything that we're doing has the capacity to put us into that experience of flow. And when we are in that, time either stands still or it just doesn't matter. We don't care about it. We're not thinking about it. We're not thinking about lunch or dinner or the laundry or picking up the kids after school. We're just doing what it is that we are doing, because what has happened there is we have merged with spirit. And spirit's energy is flowing through us in a way that has completely encaptured us, enraptured us. Captured our attention and our love and our energy and our creativity and our joy that comes forth from it. So, you know, what is it about these experiences that allow us to sometimes land in the groove and then sometimes feel like we fell right out of it, you know? What is it that sometimes we could dance all night and really feel the music and another time we just feel sort of out of step and out of rhythm? You know, how is it that sometimes we can just be there? It's not so much that we think about it necessarily, right? So we're going to unpack this mystery a little bit today and look at this experience of flow, because this is really our fifth principle. I remember one time in college, and I went to this ancient room. It was called a computer lab. Remember those? We didn't have our own at home, right? And I was learning this new newsletter layout program, and I would go in the early afternoon and I would emerge late at night, sometimes in the wee hours of the morning, having no idea, because I was so engaged in learning this new system and mastering it in some ways and creating from it and implementing from it whatever it is that I was making. I don't even remember anymore. It just didn't matter, because it was more about being in that flow. Being in that fifth principle is that action piece. It's the action part of spirit. It's the expression. So is it random? Is it luck? What allows us to go there? It can be very conscious. It can be very intentional, right? And so that's where we're headed today. So the fifth principle is really based on the first four. And we've been in this series, for those of us just joining us, our five basic unity principles, looking at it through the lens this time, though, of abundance, looking at it from a place of prosperity. And so when we look at all four principles, we believe them, we know them, we understand them, but it's not enough to just know them, right? It's the living them, it's the walking the talk, it's the embodying spirit, it's being the expression of that that is the key. That's what it's all about. That's where they all come together, is in this last one, this fifth principle, this living it. It's not so much that we have prosperity, but that we are prosperity. We are prosperity in motion. We are prosperity through our words. We are through our actions, through our thoughts and our feelings. And you know how it is to be around somebody who's in their joy, who's got that sort of flow to their lives, that kind of graceful movement, that spontaneous joy. We want more of that, right? We want to be around that, and it inspires us when we are in those kinds of spaces. My godson, Seth, I heard this story. I always hear these wonderful stories about him. He lives back in Missouri, where we used to live in Columbia, Missouri. And his mom texted me yesterday, and she said, "That Seth, you know, he's always doing something that just melts your heart." And so he had lit a candle in the middle of the table, and he called his brothers and his moms into the room, and he had them all hold hands. And he closed his eyes and he said, "Thank you, God, for this wonderful life." just spontaneously, 10 years old. Yeah, so it's, you know, but it's, that's a kind of being in the flow, isn't it? There's just this spontaneous idea that comes through us, a divine idea, and the children so beautifully make it spontaneously so in the moment. The rest of us tend to plan it out, right? Oh, when should I do that? Should I do it after dinner or before dinner? Should we do it, you know? And the child just says, hey, everybody, come here. I got something to tell you. And then we join together and we give thanks for this wonderful life. It's that ritualization of everyday living that is key, isn't it? It's that, you know, this past Thursday we had the World Day of Prayer. That's what the rose petals are from. And we had this beautiful ceremony where we had a heart made of candlelight and then a big bowl of water symbolizing the waters of the world. And we all took rose petals and infused them with our prayers and then floated them on the waters of the world. And so they're here now, so you can enjoy that energy as well. And as we were doing that ritual, little Millie, you know, Michelle's youngest, our youth ministry director, I just caught her eye at the very end, and she stopped after she gave her petals and everything, and she just stopped, and she did a little prayer pose. Nobody prompted her to do that, except for the divine within her. The knowing that the something sacred's going on here. I'm part of something that is meaningful, this ritual. What if we did everything that way? What if every time we spoke to somebody, it was with that kind of presence, that kind of knowing that we are connecting spirit to spirit, heart to heart, soul to soul, that this matters? Or that everything that we did had a sort of blessing around it. You know, when we sat down at our computer, we blessed the space and the, you know, it doesn't have to be a long thing. We don't have to get out all the materials and, you know, sage everything and drum around it and dance around it. Although those things are all fun. You don't have to do it every time, you know. But just to have like just a moment to pause and just to say, you know, spirit is expressing through me right now, and this is divine. It's sacred. It's ritual. So whatever we think, say, and do can be infused with that kind of beauty, that kind of love, that kind of spontaneous knowing that what it is that we are creating and what it is that we are doing in the world, it is making manifest God. I mean, that's what really happens. As you move through these principles, one builds off the other. So in the first one, God is our source, right? God is the source of all of our supply. And when we know that, when we really know that, then God becomes materialized as we move to number two, and there is an innate realization of that godness, of that divinity. So as divinity is realized within us, God is materialized more in the world because it's through us and as us. That's what this is for, this body temple, this mind, right? Our hearts. We have the feet of God, the hands of God, the eyes of God. We are created so that we can be that in the world. We can bring it forth. And then we move into our third principle and we co-create. We start partnering with spirit to see what we can shape in the world, what we can bring forth into the world that is of this goodness, this ever-present goodness, this joy, this peace. And prayer and meditation, it helps us remember again and again who we are, right? Like we just did, remembering who we are into meditation. Or the calling forth, the speaking into being, what it is that we want to see materialized. And so from that then comes this flow, this idea of flow, this sometimes spontaneous or planned action that comes out of these innate spaces within us that know this kind of wisdom that urges us in one direction or another. There's actually a whole body of work around the concept of flow. It comes out of positive psychology from a man named Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. He's Hungarian-American now, and he's often credited with being the co-founder of positive psychology. And through his work, he was the first to identify and thoroughly research the idea of flow, when people are in the state of flow that we spoke of. And so in all the research that he did of people doing all kinds of activities, he found it doesn't really matter what the activity is or even the person's level of mastery of it for them to experience flow. And so this flow is experienced as the characteristics that are often said that people feel are, they feel very alert, they feel very strong, they feel unself-conscious. That one's a really important one. So there's no self-consciousness of who's watching or what do they think or who's going to judge me, but there's an unself-consciousness to the flow of the work because we are in partnership with the divine, right? We are coming out of that co-creative piece, principle number three. He says there's a feeling that is reported that there's the sense of time, as I mentioned, disappears, but also emotional problems disappear. That there's no worry, right? There's no concern. There's nothing holding us back or dragging us down because we are in that ineffable flow. There's also an exhilarating feeling of transcendence. Like we're not, so that's the piece that feels sort of like spaceless, right? Or maybe entering into space, maybe coming back into that cosmic kind of place from which we have come. The stardusty experience. So we don't even think about all these things when we're in flow, right? We're not diagnosing it and analyzing it. We're just in it. We're just the action itself. That's principle number five. When it's really alive, when it's really lit up in us, when we're really being that in the world, we're embodying all the rest. And because we know them, we might identify that or see that. We can see how somebody is standing on the principle of God is my source, that there is a sense of faith and fearlessness almost to take risks, to take challenge, because you know that Spirit's got your back, right? You know that you're standing in a place of strength. You know that there is power, there is protection, that there is divine love, that there is, because God is everywhere, there is not a spot where God is not. There is nothing to fear. There is no devil. It's the trickster of our own mind that allows us to begin to believe or think that we are somehow separate from the very essence of love. How could we forget? But we do, right? And then we remember again. Isn't it sweet when we remember again, when we come back home to the truth of who we are? And it's from this home that this action flows, that this idea of flow is experienced. Mihai says that people who experience flow, that at the end of the day, what they really talk about is that they are enjoying themselves. And enjoyment is being in joy. So it's in the very essence of joy and the quality of joy that is springing forth and being expressed through us is what happens. He calls the people who are in this, that often go to flow, that are can easily and habitually move into flow, autoletic people. Now, we all have the potential to be autoletic people. He says that autoletic people, the thing about them, and this is, we all get this, is that they don't make their goals based on biological or socially conventional reasons. Their goals don't come from that place, they come from within. And that they know that at any time that they have the power and the strength and the resilience and the can-do attitude that will carry them through to the fullness of their goal, or that they will change direction. But there is that kind of sense of confidence and faith. Where does that come from? Principle number one. And two, really. Because two is the knowing that I'm a part of that, that I am merged with that, that I am divine in my nature, that I cannot be separated from that magnificence that I have come to be. And that isn't said in any kind of egoic way. In fact, it's got the most humility in it. Because it is the kind of, wow, I have been given all the gifts I could ever need. I've been given all the possibilities to create with. And so the world is now my canvas or my blank sheet of paper to write upon or my dance floor or whatever it may be. It is that place in which we can begin to play and co-create and be in joy. Oh, when we know it's so good, right? When we are sitting here together in this room and I can feel that palpable sense of, yeah, we're getting this. We know this. We all are knowing this and remembering maybe moments of it. So what do we do so that we don't walk out the door and forget? Just, you know, let it be your ritual now. You know, just kind of breathe in whatever it is that, if you've had sort of a getting it moment, a remembrance moment this morning, just take it in now. Let it seep into your heart, into your gut, to be here now, and to know that you carry it everywhere you go. See, that's prayer. That's prayer and meditation at any time, letting something just really seep in. And then you have that well within you to just drop in at any time and go, oh yeah, I remember how that felt on Sunday when I let that really drop in. I remember how that felt to be in a whole room full of people who were doing similar consciousness work in the world, who are dedicated and committed to their path, who are wanting so much to be in that divine flow, to be that very essence of God in the world, to be spreading this joy, to be that contagious one who everybody wants to be around so that they can be inspired to remember who they are. And we're not far from it. If you think for a minute you're far from that, it's right here. It's right here. It's a breath. It's a step. It's a thought. It's a feeling. It's that quick. And then there we are again, the undercurrent of spirit. There we are in the river. I would love to live like the river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. Guess what? We do. We can. We are. If we don't feel like we are, it's just a slight shift. It's just my minuscule little shift in perception or the drop within that says, oh yeah, there I am. I remember what it felt like in that moment when I knew I wasn't alone, when I was surrounded by all these people. And we were all having that experience of, yeah, I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to be in the timelessness and the spacelessness of spirit. I know what it feels like to be a co-creator with God. I know what it feels like to be in the well of prayer and be so filled up with all the glory and the light and the power and the truth, and to know I just can't hold it in. And why would I want to? Because I want to share it with everybody. That's the fifth principle. That's prosperity in action. That's us being the prosperity, not just having it, but being it in the world. So how do we do all this? I'm so glad you asked. We've really kind of walked through it a lot when we look at each of the principles. But, you know, if we look at the principles as sort of banks of the river, if we ourselves are, the spirit in us is the river, our lives are the river, then if you think of the principles as sort of the banks of the river, they give us a little guidance. They give us a little place to sort of realize, oh, okay, I want to go this way. I want to go this way. I want to flow down that way. And to stay with the river metaphor for a moment longer. When I think of a river, I think of, well, it receives from the source, right? The fresh rain. So the river is always receiving from the source. And then what does it want to do? As soon as it receives, it wants to rush back to the mother ocean, right? So it receives from the source and it wants to give back to the source. And that's us. That's like our innate law of circulation and prosperity, right? We give, we receive, and we want to give. And we give, and in the giving, we receive. And there's that constant flow. And so these principles are the banks, the guiders, the guidance system, the way that allows us to help, you know, bump up against it and to realize, oh, there's that truth again. There's that memory again. I'm divine. That's right. I'm divine. I'm getting back in the river and knowing the truth of who I am. Oh my gosh, that's right. I co-create my life. This stuff that's going on in my life, this drama that I don't want, that is, you know, pulling me down and making me feel heavy and drained, or this craziness that's going on in the world and I keep going back to the news over and over again and bumping my head up against a wall. Maybe I'll do something different. That's right, I'm a co-creator of life. What brings me joy? It's the only question we ever need. You know, sometimes people think these New Thought teachings are self-serving, but that's because they don't really get what it's about. Because on the surface, it looks like we want the goodies of enlightenment and bliss and abundance for ourselves. But that's not why we want them, because once we've got it, all we want to do is share it. It's about sacred service. It's about flow. It's about sharing it with the world. It's about embodying. It's about being the fifth principle. And so it's that which keeps us alive, that keeps us in our river, and these banks just help us along the way. And so there we are, you know, going along, and the river gets a little stagnant, and we realize, oh, you know, I'm kind of feeling heavy. And it's feeling like a lot, all the debris, the rocks, the sticks, the things that are going on in my life. And we realize, oh, I could just sink in right here, right? Right into the depths of this river, into the well of prayer. And there I am, rejuvenated and refilled and flowing once again. So if it was only these that we knew, it'd be more than enough. Because it gives us that constant guidance to realize what we need to be back in the flow, what it is that we want to do to be alive and well. In the Gospel of Thomas, it says, if you bring forth that is that which is within you, it will save you. It also says, if you don't bring forth that which is within you, it will destroy you. The second part, not so uplifting. But if we bring forth that which is within us, it will save us. So when somebody asks you if you're saved next time, you can just say, I'm saving myself and I'm saving everything. I'm yes, yes. And I'm in action. I'm saving. Not that we're going out and proselytizing, but we're living our lives. And as we live our lives, people want a little more of that, right? They see it. They see the joy. They see the prosperity. They see the good. They see the flow and the creativity. And that's what we all want to be in, that river. That river that continues to be surprised by its own unfolding, its own prosperity. I was, years ago, I took a group of folks on a bike ride on the Katy Trail in Missouri. 225 miles we rode, not in one day, several days. We like to enjoy ourselves. Well, I guess some people enjoy that, 225 miles in a day. Anyway, we're not the ones who do. But hi to my friends at Unity of Columbia that might be watching that might have been on that bike ride. So anyway, we had been, you know, cycling a lot. So there was sort of that constant pedal motion. And I remember at one time pulling over and going to sit by the Big Muddy, the Big Missouri River, and just to have a few moments to meditate. And it was that feeling of like, my body never really felt fully rested because it was still in motion. Do you ever have that feeling? But what was really cool about it was I did feel rested because I started to realize that there was like my cells and my atoms and everything was so alive and moving and the energy was sort of pulsing. And then I noticed that the crickets, you know, the energy of the crickets and the flow of the river and the flowers kind of waving in the breeze. And it was just this sense of everything is alive and teeming with life. And this, you know, this prayerful life that we sometimes think has to be so sedentary is also a prayer in motion. It's also a life in motion, in action, in service, in creative flow. And so that feeling of oneness with all of that and that teeming, pulsing life was a prayer in and of itself, of a different kind. It wasn't super still and quiet, but it was still enough for me to feel the motion. And to remember that we are given these bodies, this beautiful experience and temple so that we can express that which wants to be expressed in the world, so that we can be the vehicle through which it is known. Flow is always here. That undercurrent of energy is always here. And so when we recognize who we are, we do indeed flow like the river. We do indeed actually can sometimes be that mighty river that is rushing forward, that is rushing to the sea, that is rushing to give out all that we have to give and to be. And if it feels like too much at any time, guess where we go? One step back, principle number four, drop in, replenish, allow yourself to feel the motion of God, the energy of spirit rejuvenating and reanimating your body. So that you can, in your mind, so that you can go forth and once again get in that that groove, that wonderful place where things just flow in a timeless, spaceless way. That's the joy of being alive, isn't it? These kinds of times, so these moments don't have to be isolated moments or isolated stories anymore. It's just simply how we live, how we show up. Let's be this together. Let's be this river. Let's know that all that we think and say and do is banked on this truth. Let's speak it together as we close out. The river of spirit flows as me in all I think, say, and do. So it is.